Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Branded, a movie.
Branded.
Sort of a movie.
A movie.
A movie?
And the winner is...
And now it's like I've come to my senses.
They made me a pawn in their conspiracy.
Blood everywhere.
Together we will change the world. How far are you willing to go?
I'm trying to do the air quotes close enough to the microphone so that you can hear the wind from my fingers.
So if people don't already know, this is a Thursday release, which means it's from our Patreon tier, where our subscribers can request us to do any movie they want, for better or for worst.
Yep.
This is coming from Andrew McGuire, who previously did... I already forgot the name of the movie. It was great.
Was it EGA?
EGA, yeah. He brought us EGA, and now he requested Branded, which is
That quells some... The realization that it's the same guy that had us watch EGA has quelled some of my rage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Andrew has given us some great joys and also some great sorrows.
Yeah, some cavernous, deep canyons of sorrow.
Yeah, which brings me to the question, Tom, how did you like Branded?
This was an excruciating 2 hours of my life.
Mm.
This is one of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life. It's very clearly like a student film.
Right.
That ran into a lot of problems during production. The movie we watched was not the movie they made or set out to make. It's like it's very obvious that like narration was added after subsequent cuts to make things more clear.
Right. I haven't
Oh my God.
I haven't looked into this movie at all, but it also features some shocking celebrities. And I wonder if this is like a case of like an Ed Wood style movie where like they shot it and then they like added these celebrities in later and like found a way to work them into the plot. I don't know what it definitely feels like it's...
Oh yeah.
Definitely feels like something went wrong with this movie.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, there's not much information available on this film.
No, okay.
Not the least of which is because it's one of about 700,000 movies and TV shows titled Branded.
Yes. I had to, when I told you the movie, I was like specifying because of that reason. This has Jeffrey Tambor in it. It has Max von Sydow. It has, what's her name? Swim Fan? She was Swim Fan, right?
Yeah, Lily Sobieski.
Yeah. And it has some ideas that I want to say could be in a good film. Not this one, though.
No.
Not this one.
No.
I kind of want to recommend it to people almost in a sadistic way.
No.
I would say it was... Andrew was saying that it was on Netflix for a while.
No.
And I think if it comes back to Netflix, I think people should watch it for as long as they can stand.
No.
And maybe skip to the end.
No.
No?
Do not watch this film.
Okay.
This film is a boring-ass lecture about marketing.
Yes.
Well,
a boring-ass lecture in marketing done by a person who is on LSD.
Right. And it's... This movie is, I think, a piece of commentary about how advertising and brands and corporate... entities have basically shape humankind to their whims and needs, which
the key word being I think
which may be true, But like the movie is an hour and 45 minutes long. Most of it is the main character just lecturing about the importance of marketing and how marketing can change the world, and what a genius he is at marketing, and how like marketing was invented by Lenin to push communism, and that's not accurate, but
I mean,
it's we never see that it's revealed that marketing is literal monsters that are invisible to the normal human eye.
Well, okay, I want to start with the very first thing we see in the movie, which is a text saying that naming all these famous people who had auditory or visual hallucinations.
The very first thing we see in the very first thing we see in the movie is the name Joan of Arc, just on a black screen. I'm like, I don't know where this is going.
Right. Yeah, it's not. It's a very. It's and then yeah. It basically starts by being like, these people with a mental illness, they were special. And it's like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. They were mainlining the universe.
Yeah. And then it immediately follows that up with a space cow.
Yeah, it's a little boy laying on a bench in the 80s USSR looking up at the constellations. And he dozes off, and it becomes a cow that turns and looks at him.
Yeah. And then he gets struck by lightning.
And then he gets he's waiting for his number to be called for the beat line, the ration line.
Right.
And his number gets called, and he's running up to collect his potatoes, and he gets struck by fucking lightning. Right. And that's our hero. That's our hero, Misha. Yeah.
Misha. And then we just cut to him as an adult, and he's a marketing executive. And for most of the movie, they never explain what the hell we just saw. How it's going to connect. And I remember thinking, because I had watched the trailer for this, and I knew some crazy shit was going to happen, mm-hmm. but like they were running out the clock near the end. I was like, it's not happening. Like, this is just a kind of boring movie about this, that it's a very rambling film. Like it goes to weird fucking places. And not all of it really pays off or makes much sense.
No. And in point of fact, it makes so little sense that there is, narration sprinkled throughout that is so jarring. And like when we first hear it, it's this lady doing narration with the same tone and gravitas that you would narrate an educational film for mm-hmm. school.
It's Wes Anderson. The director, I think, is trying to do a Wes Anderson type of bit.
His narration isn't like that, though.
No, I just think that's what he's trying to do.
For those shots, yeah, he's trying to do Wes Anderson and Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie is definitely...
And failing horribly at both. Yeah.
Well, he's trying to do too much at once.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say
the narration is so jarring that, like, I thought it was a film... I thought it was an instructional video they were watching within the movie.
Yes!
And it took me, like, 2 minutes to realize that the narrator was speaking to me.
I agree. The first time we hear the narration, I think it's the Max von Sydow part.
Yes, it is.
And he's kind of overacting in the scene, and I was like, mm-hmm. oh, this is like an infomercial for his company.
In front of an obvious green screen, too. So I thought it was like an infomercial. It's like, no, that was a scene.
Yeah, this is a scene from the movie.
That was a scene.
So fucking weird. fucking Max von Sydow plays, I guess, a marketing wizard, like a literal wizard.
He's marketing Jehovah. Yeah, he's marketing Merlin. He lives on some island, and basically it's him and a bunch of the shadow government of corporate leaders. It's a bunch of the fast food leaders, and fast food's tanking. And he's like, well, I'm going to devise a plan to make fast food back on top. And it involves getting our hero Misha to do a reality show about an overweight woman getting liposuction surgery to become thin again.
Right.
And they engineer it so that she falls into a coma after having the surgery, and the public turns against him because they release this video of this woman like at the last minute trying to change her mind, and they're like, no, they kind of make her go through with the surgery. So it like,
right.
It vilifies him. It tanks his company, and it turns the public opinion toward, like, people's like, well, why, she shouldn't have had to change in the first place. She was fine the way she was. So, like, Max von Sydow's idea was, like, we're going to make fat beautiful again. So, like, the McDonald's proxy in this film, which is called the mm-hmm. burger because they can't use actual McDonald's logos.
Right.
Adopts her as, like, their new kind of ad campaign, and fast food is revitalized.
Yeah, and they're testing this out in third world countries. So Russia is one of them. Did we mention this takes place in Russia? I feel like we didn't mention.
We mentioned that the first scene takes place in Russia when the kid gets struck by lightning.
The whole thing takes place in Russia. The idea being, and what's the time period? Because I know it. The idea is our main character, Misha, was like a Jeffrey Tambor shows up and basically buys out his like shitty marketing company, and is also a spy for some reason. Never really matters.
Well, he's a government agent trying to instill American brands into the newly formed Russia.
Yeah, and so that's the idea of their agency.
Yeah.
And then he starts fucking Jeffrey Tambor's daughter in a car.
His niece is Lena Sobieski. Jeffrey Tambor was clearly added to this film. His character has no purpose and dies in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We never needed to see his character.
I think it's a heart attack, but he sort of just collapses. It's like
he has a heart attack.
Okay. It was one of those things where it's just like, I guess it's a heart attack, but like, he just keels over. It's like, I guess that's what it is.
Right. If you notice, after Jeffrey Tambor dies, there is little to no references made to his character ever again.
Yeah, the government stuff, the spy stuff, doesn't come into the film
at all.
What ends up happening is they're ruined by this evil burger company, and he is like the public it like goes after them, and they have to just leave. And he escapes to the countryside and becomes a shepherd.
Yeah, he just goes to live on a farm in exile because he's ashamed of himself.
Yeah. And then Jeffrey Tambor's niece tracks him down and wants to bring him back.
I really, really want to talk about how the first 15 minutes of this film or so were clearly added on once they got Jeffrey Tambor. Like, it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Like, the movie seems to have been about just Misha and his own advertising company. Just like, it starts with him like doing an ad for a movie, and he's like this hotshot ad guy. So like, it seems like initially like he was just his own character, had no relation to anybody else. He was just a guy that had a cool advertising company. Lily Sobieski comes to him because she's been tasked with making this reality show. They start a relationship, but it goes sour because, you know, the contestant falls into a coma and he has to flee to the countryside. Jeffrey Tambor was clearly added later.
Yes, like, none of that needs him. When our Patreon subscriber sent me this movie, one of the things he said, he's like, it seems like a bunch of other different movies, like one being a family drama. And it's like, yeah, that's because they added way too much. Like, I don't know why they felt the need to add this shit, because it just sort of bogs it down. Like, it's just,
I feel like they made their movie, and they're like, okay, this isn't going to sell. We need to put some stars in it. So they get Jeffrey Tambor for like 2 days.
Right. Who all the kids are loving Jeffrey Tambor.
He's in two locations. He's in a car on the road, and he's in an office building that they just kind of redress a few times to be Misha's office and the burger. Oh yeah. And the burger place. And then Max von Sydow was also clearly added in a green screen.
Just in one location. He is the best, not to skip ahead, he is the best exit from the film ever, which is that when he finally tanks the burger joint as revenge, which we'll get to, Max von Sydow is just like, he says something that sounds like it's positive, like he has a plan, and then he just gets struck by lightning and vanishes. And it was just like, okay, and I guess he's done. It was so, it reminded me of in Rick and Morty when he crashes the economy of the space aliens, and the space president is like, they're all fighting, and he goes, gentlemen, there's a solution here you're all not seeing. And then he just blows his brains out. Like, it reminded me of that, of Max von Sydow, like, I have a plan. Struck by lightning, disappears. and then that's it.
Yep.
It's like, huh.
Oh my god.
I would watch a whole movie of Max von Sydow's character in this.
he walks out onto the veranda.
Yeah.
Kind of opens his shirt a little bit and gets struck by lightning directly in his chest.
Yep.
And vanishes. He might as well have held up a sword and said, "By the power of Grayskull."
Yeah. He vanishes and it is not explained.
Nope. We never go back
never
to those
people.
Never
to be seen again. No, we don't. Fucking what the hell?
It's also every single it was so jarring that after the second or third time where the narrator comes in, I started paying very close attention to what was happening on screen while the narration was going on, just to see. And yes, those scenes obviously did not have narration before.
Oh yeah, there's some clunky ass scenes.
Where it was clear that they had a cut of the film and somebody came and was like, "This is not clear. You're gonna need somebody to come in and narrate huge portions of this film."
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because the narrations are from every perspective. It's just someone explaining what's happening. It's just someone saying, "And so this person thought this, and so they developed." It's over the top.
When she explains his dream sequence is the most egregious. I think.
My god! Yeah. So he goes to live. He's been disgraced as an advertiser because this woman's in a coma. So he goes to live on a farm.
Being really.
Yes. Yeah. And on the farm, his ex now finds him, and then he has a dream. And do they even show what the dream is? I think the narrator just says what the dream was.
Right. The dream, I think, is him. Like, I don't think he literally slaughters the cow. Like, I think that's his dream.
Oh, that's supposed to be the dream?
Yes.
See, I did not realize that. Because the narrator just says he has a dream that, like, tells him to do it. And then they show him waking up, getting two buckets of water. And I was like, oh, those buckets of water have to be important. They're not. But they spend a lot of time. Not really. I mean, I didn't need to see where they came from.
No.
And then he builds a giant fucking
He builds a wicker man, essentially.
He builds a wicker man, yeah. And then he goes out into the night until a white cow turns red in the moonlight. Mm-hmm. And he drags it into the wicker man, slaughters the cow, and then sets the whole thing on fire. Pours the water on himself to cleanse himself. And then mixes the water with the ash and pours that on himself.
Yes, and then he snaps awake in the back of Lily Sobieski's car.
Okay, I don't think that was a dream, because later they have a sequence where he oogles it, the ceremony.
Yeah. I think he's oogling his dream.
See, I thought the idea is because from there on he sees the brands as monsters. So I thought what happened is he went out and actually did the ceremony, and that's the ceremony that caused him to see these brands.
I don't think,
or he's snapped.
Yeah, I think it came to him metaphysically. Like, I don't think he literally did the ceremony. I think it's a dream.
Really?
Yeah.
I disagree.
I feel like if you mute it, just watch what's happening, it seems pretty clear that the cow slaughtering is a dream. But if you watch it with the narrator's like, "He fell asleep and heard a voice that told him exactly what to do. So he woke up the next morning and then woke up again and
so
then got
saying,
a cow." And then so it seems...
You're saying that the narrator, they changed it. Like, it was originally a dream, and then the narration... Okay, that makes sense. I believe that. Yeah.
But anyway, now he has the ability to see the literal monsters that advertising is.
Yes.
They're monsters.
Yeah, I liked the monsters. They had funny sounds. They were just like... And they, like, crawl on people's backs, and they're, like, Cronenbergian monsters.
Yeah, like the vegetarian Chinese food restaurant is like a giant egg, and then it hatches into this weird insect dragon.
Yeah. This is where... This should have happened in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Instead of the last 15 minutes, I wholeheartedly agree.
because that was the trailer. If you watch the trailer, you think this is most of the movie. And that's what I mean is, like, the trailer showed these monsters, and then you're watching the movie, and you're like, where are the fucking monsters? I don't
is
care
this the
about
right movie?
This. Yeah. Oh, I double-checked a few times that this was the right movie that we were be told to watch. Because, yeah, for most of the movie, it's just, like, kind of a... I don't know if it was trying to be a comedy or a drama. It's just like sort of this movie explaining things that are happening.
Right, and then this boring-ass dude having these quote-unquote deep thoughts about market. This is the right. most irritating thing about this film to me. Not how boring it was, even though it was excruciatingly boring and I wanted to die while I was watching it. It's the fact that there's like several times in this film where our hero Misha just launches into this grandiose speech about how important marketing is and how it's the key to everything, and like with good marketing you can change the world. Like my marketing was so good that I convinced them that my former boss was actually a gangster, and it's like, no, you didn't convince him with marketing, you just told him a lie.
He just lied.
But like, it never shows us that he's good at it. Like, we just keep hearing, oh, he has a great natural ability for marketing. And every slogan and campaign and commercial we see him come up with is objectively terrible.
Yeah, I think what that was the limits of the director and the writer, where mm-hmm. they were like, it's that idea of like having to write a math genius but not knowing being good at
math
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, shit, well, I can just have people say he's a math genius. Because you're right, is that like what we're about to get into is that he sees these monsters and decides to wipe them all out by marketing them
with
to
marketing
death. Yeah,
by using their marketing against them.
Yeah, and I get the idea of someone who thinks they're really good at marketing and thinks it's very influential, then like I like the premise of seeing the brands as monsters and they're torturing him and then trying to destroy them. But that's, yeah, the last, like, 20 minutes of the movie. And so, basically, what he does is
That's a generous estimate.
Yes. Yeah. He uses his marketing skills, which are... It's just still lying. He just lies. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things where... It's a pretty big plot hole in this movie, is that he's the guy who was known for putting a woman in a coma. Mm-hmm. And now he's, like, marketing all these lies, and no one's calling him out on it. Like, the idea that, like, the first lie he does is he wants to... support the vegetarian restaurant and kill the burger brand. Mm-hmm. So he introduces a meat tester mm-hmm. that's testing whether or not the meat is causing a virus that's been in the news. And like right away, the government would probably step in and be like, you can't do that.
You can't fabricate a panic to sell your product.
Yeah. And like people would realize, oh, this is the same scumbag, but like it works. And he tanks the burger company. And then he starts pitting the corporations against each other with marketing.
Yeah,
by like just the trash
diapers,
talking.
Diapers yeah. make your baby impotent.
Right. And they show that in him seeing these giant monsters fighting each other all through the city. Like, mm-hmm. it's like a giant CG monster battle in this mm-hmm. movie. All of a sudden.
Bad CG, by the
no,
way.
No, yeah. I mean, I can forgive bad CG if this was, you know...
If
the
this
whole
was
movie,
fun.
Or yeah,
yeah,
if this
was fun.
I would forgive the entire movie, the entire
if
plot.
If it was EGA,
yes, that's the thing is, I would forgive. Yeah, EGA didn't have great CGI, but it was fucking EGA.
No, but EGA's a glorious film.
Yeah, I think what it is that I think you could do this entire film beat by beat what we see with better writing, like funnier writing. Like this would make a good
right,
remake.
This could have been like a frenetic, weird. Kind of dark comedy,
but they're
not talented. It's so like up its own ass.
Yeah, some of them are talented, or the actors. Yeah, you mean like the writing is?
I mean the writing and directing. Yeah. Like within the first 90 seconds of the film, like just analyzing it based entirely on the film on the filmmaker's language, like you know like. The visual language that the director was using, I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. Because, none of the shots meant anything, and, like, nothing connected, and it was just like...
Well, what really sums it up is that, for me, it's that fucking bucket shot. It's not a big deal, but showing him go and fill up those buckets, And then later being like, see, he needs those buckets to pour water on himself. It's just like, I didn't need to see him get the buckets. I would have assumed that he acquired the bucket of water somehow. Mm-hmm. And if they're trying to make the sequence seem cryptic by starting with the buckets of water, I don't know why.
When he first falls asleep and the dream begins, and then it shows him waking up, he's in a different position, in a different piece of furniture.
Hmm.
Like, it's this, the director is very bad, and they choose shots that don't make any sense, and they show us things that we don't need to see. And like, there's one scene right in the beginning when he takes a phone call that's like, it's for the movie trailer that he's trying to make. And the guy's like, yeah, the scream's still bullshit. You fucking suck. You're fired, you bullshit asshole. You're fucking fired.
That was so weird. I was like, what was that? Like, I had to re-remember what had been going on. Like, oh, is he? Oh, he's talking about that. Okay. Like, it was so sudden and weird.
But that's not the reason I brought it up. It is very strange. But like, it cuts back after he takes the phone call.
Oh, yeah.
It cuts back and forth between him and Lily Sobieski. And she doesn't have anything to do. It keeps cutting to her, and she just keeps like looking at him and looking down, and looking at him and looking down, and like they go back and forth between them in silence, like a few times.
Yeah.
Before he says, "I have to go."
At first, I was like, "I think she's supposed to have a line here."
Right. Right? It felt like she was building up to a line, but it's like she kept not saying anything.
And if that was the point that she can't say anything, I feel like what happened is the director. When they shot it at they shot the scene, I feel like that wasn't what was supposed to be happening. And so she's not reacting. Because if you did a moment where she doesn't know what to say and doesn't say anything and he just looks pissed, that can work.
Mm-hmm.
Even for that length of time. But she doesn't look like that. She looks
she's
just waiting for him to say something. Or like, she's sort of reacting, but it felt like they had B-roll of her reacting to his lines, and then they stretched the B-roll out a little too much.
Right, because she's like smiling.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't...
Like, so it's like, okay, so you're not even, like, you don't even have the same energy that he has in this shot. Like,
It's a lot of little things like that. It's a lot of, like, execution, like the editing and the directing...
This movie is excruciating.
It is excruciating, which is weird because it gave me these moments where I was just like, oh, cool. Like the fucking bull or the cow, sacrificing the cow and the weirdness of it. Like, it has a level of weirdness that I like in a lot of movies. It's just not in the right hands to work.
It's so up its own ass with this marketing. Like,
The only part I felt like,
oh God.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Oh, the only part there was a part where I was like, I think when he has a conversation with Jeffrey Tambor where the dialogue is slightly more natural. And I think it's just because he improvised.
Maybe.
Yeah. There's a couple moments like that where it's like, something sort of works in the dialogue, and I feel like it's because it's just a decent actor trying to make it work. Like, Max von Sydow is trying his fucking best.
Sure. He showed up for a day, filming in front of a green screen. And Jeffrey Tambor he can't help but be completely natural when he delivers lines. So it's it's clear those two actors were added into the film.
Yeah.
Way later.
Right. And And again, having Jeffrey Tambor in your movie is not a good thing anymore. He is not a draw.
I don't know that he was ever a draw.
Right, but he's especially not a draw now.
Right. He might be a repellent.
Yes, that would be a good word for it. We haven't even... All right, so all the brands fight each other. For like 5 minutes. It reminded me of like Pixels. Like, I liked the brand designs, but like, because of the CGI, and they were all just sort of flying through the air. Like, a couple of them looked like fucking Langoliers. There were Langoliers fighting in this.
There were a lot of Langoliers.
It was
a lot of
Apple versus Microsoft.
Yeah.
But they called them other different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stupid. So like, that was one of the things, is he's like, if you want to sell more computers, you got to make people hate their phones. And then he successfully does it. And it's like, what? How did you do that? Yeah. I don't think that's...
We don't get to see that. They just... We just see the Langoliers eat each other.
Yeah, because again... Because I wonder if the hallucinations at the end and the thing at the beginning was, like, tacked into the, at least the script at the last minute, because it's... Again, it feels like they didn't know how to show that, like, how to show marketing do that, so mm-hmm. they just show them fighting each other.
No, I think the brands were, like, he was always going to see the brands as monsters.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I can see that being the real cool idea they started with, and then mm-hmm. they...
And they just don't know what the hell to do with that.
Yeah, that again, that should have been most of the movie. It should have been like a horror movie, but with brands coming alive.
Yeah.
Like, they could have had the mascots. It could have been that Simpsons episode, basically.
It's kind of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of what it is. so at the end, he successfully, through montage, has all the brands kill each other. He only has like 10 brands that he has listed, or mm-hmm. maybe it's like 15. But whatever.
There's a few. It's still not a big whiteboard.
Yeah. There's still not enough.
And he's just taking phone calls from someone.
Yeah.
And crossing names out off the list.
Yes. The big,
like, who's he
the big
speaking
climax
to?
Is, yeah. just various people. He does all his work through various phone calls.
Yeah. The big climax is him crossing names off of a whiteboard.
Yeah. While talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then, well, actually, no, because then a horde of people. The government mm-hmm. votes to, like, ban advertising.
But they decide not to.
They decide not to, and hordes of people go to attack him for some reason.
Yeah, they attack him and his firm. It's like, yeah.
I don't know why they did that, because he's the one killing all the brands. And
right,
they're mad
king,
at brands?
He's king advertiser.
Right, but if that, like, was the case, they would have attacked him. Shouldn't they have attacked him from the start?
I think things have gotten so bad and out of hand, like they realize they're being fucked with, and he's destroying the brands surreptitiously. Like, he's still,
right,
you know, in his public face, a marketing guru.
Right, that's true. He's like Batman.
Yeah, so they storm his building and bash his head in.
Yes, they bash his head in.
Were you
did we mention he has a kid?
Yeah, maybe.
We didn't mention he has a kid. So when the girlfriend shows up, she's like, you have a kid. Doesn't matter. Doesn't really play into that much.
Not really. The only thing that matters is the kid is overweight.
The kid has one of those creatures on its back.
Yeah, the kid's overweight and the kid's obsessed with brands. Like, he's always wearing like 5 different branded clothing and clutching some kind of branded toy or Happy Meal in each hand in every scene we see him in.
Yeah. But go on with your question. I know what it is.
Were you disappointed when they revealed he was still alive?
Yes.
Me too.
I thought, like, it would have been more pretentious if he died like Jesus.
Yeah.
but I did want him to die.
Yeah,
he gets his head bashed in, and then they cut to, like, the world is without advertising. They pass the thing. They finally pass it to ban advertising. Which is such a weird thing to have. Like, well, I'll get into it in a second. But, like, and then the world, he wakes up in the hospital, and so does the woman, the overweight woman from the reality show, finally wakes up from her coma, and she wanders out, because apparently the hospital has no security, into the streets to see the world without brands.
Pretentious, again.
Yes. I get the basic idea that brands, like, advertising makes cities and locations uglier, and it does look nicer without, like, all these different colored brands everywhere, like, especially a city like Moscow. So I didn't mind that image, but it wasn't earned by everything I had seen up until that point. I think that's the end.
Yeah.
I think the cow shows up again, the space cow.
The cow shows up, and it's revealed that the cow is the narrator.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, you didn't notice that?
No, I missed that. The cow, the cow's a god, and because they mentioned that the ceremony has to do with the golden cow, the golden idol releasing.
It makes you immune to the sin of the golden idol, which is advertising.
Yeah, so there's like cow gods that are just pulling the strings throughout this whole movie.
Yeah.
And the idea being that they made one man do this ceremony and be released from the fucking golden cow.
Sure, man.
The idea that the government would ban advertising is hilarious to me, because again, that's one of the it's one of the silliest fucking things in this movie, is that he does his one advertising firm does all this damage, and instead of being like, we need to arrest this guy for all of the lying, they're like, no, let's make advertising illegal. That's so fucking weird.
This movie.
It's very childish. This movie was written by a teenager.
Right. This movie is a kid who just finished one semester of college and comes home and is like, I've got some stuff you should read.
Yeah. But like,
it's like just now discovering all the shit that we all knew already.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
it thinks
it's being real deep.
Yes.
It's just like, this is very obvious.
It didn't have much to say. It really didn't have much to say.
I mean, it had very obvious things to say.
Yeah, and I guess that would have been okay. Oh, again, I think that would have been all right if, like, it's God damn it! Like, if the journey was fun,
yeah,
then it wouldn't matter how kind of basic the message was, because we wouldn't be concerned with the message. We would have been like, yeah, and I guess the message is advertising bad, whatever, this was really fun. And so, like, the biggest problem it has going for it is being so, like, that spending that first like hour and a half being so boring,
yeah,
that you can't help but to notice and the message the whole time.
Your main character, who is the most unlikable toad in this film.
Yeah, he's not.
Just endlessly preached to us about how great and influential and powerful marketing is, and he fucking sucks at it.
He really sucks at it. Yeah, because the first movie that he's doing a horror movie that he's marketing, and he comes up with the brilliant slogan, like, no one can hear you scream. And it was like, yeah, that's been done.
It's not even what he says. Yeah. He says, no one will hear this scream.
That's it. Yeah. And it's like,
and then
Jesus.
When they show it in the focus group, it says, here, no one can hear you scream.
Right.
So it's like, this movie can't even get its shit together. Like,
yeah. That definitely...
if you're gonna make a movie about advertising and have your main character be an advertising guru, you should I know it kind of, like you said earlier, it's more of a sign of the weakness of the writer and director, but it's like, you should make his ads good.
Yeah, it's Mad Men. You need to make Mad Men.
Right,
you need
Mad
Don Draper.
Like,
pretty much Mad Men did all of this, but better.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah.
For instance, That Thing You Do is a film about a band that has a one-hit wonder song that takes the nation by storm. So they had a band sit down and write a catchy song.
Right.
They couldn't have just put out some bullshit song and been like, this song is taking the nation by storm. Because we'd be like, no, it's not. It sucks.
Yeah, that's the issue, is when you first see the horror movie trailer, it's for starters, it's like 10 seconds long.
Yeah.
And it was very clear, like, my first thought was, oh, they ran out of budget.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like bad font, and like a single shot that's like very low budget, and it it's that thing where, like, whenever they show, when movies show like a movie within their movie, they're usually like dumber, and this was dumber, but it was also just way cheaper.
Yeah.
So it just didn't feel like a real. It was just like, what ad agency is making trailers for this fucking shoddy ass horror film? Like, this horror film clearly can't afford an ad agency,
right? Like, based on that ad, like, just like the footage we saw, and he gets that angry phone call, like, oh, that's the still fucking sucks, you're fired for trying, you know. It's like, no, man, your movie's crap. Like, look
yeah,
at this.
Your movie's garbage.
This movie's garbage. Like, you can't polish a turd, my man.
Yeah Like, no matter, it doesn't matter how many Max von Sydows you put in wizard robes.
Yeah. Although I will say, it does matter how many times you have him step out onto a glorious marble veranda, open his shirt, and get struck directly in the breast by a bolt of lightning.
Who? Okay, what? Who was he? Who was he?
I don't know.
Is he a cow as well? Is he a secret cow?
I don't know.
What the fuck happened? What was the deal? Because they don't have enough money to put Max von Sydow in a room with the main actor.
Maybe it was
added to the film later.
It was added months later.
Okay.
In like 2 days of shooting, I'm positive. So
yeah,
like that's
you're right.
why
you're
none
fucking
of the main
right.
characters are there.
You're so right, because he also doesn't need to be in the movie.
No, he doesn't, Matt. Like, we never need to see him.
This could have been a movie about a... Yeah, you don't need to see him. You just need to know about the burger entity in the ads.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, they might have had a few shots or scenes from when they're making the ads, and they just reshot them with Max von Sydow or something. But this this needed to be a movie about a man who, like, hits his head or, like, you know, like, just something basic. Maybe his son makes a birthday wish.
Sure.
And then from then on, he sees these brands crawling on people. And at first, maybe it takes him a little while to realize that they're even brands. And then they torment him for a while, and they come alive in newer and creative ways. And then the firing stuff happens, or some sort of drama with the wife thinking he's insane.
Yeah.
And then, there could have been an ending, the brand battle thing, but, like, maybe they're trying to hurt him the whole time because they know he's killing him. I don't know. It could be something completely different than this that just is more profound in a way that I'm not thinking of right this second. Like, there's an idea here that would have worked, is my point. And it could have had Max von Sydow get struck by lightning. They could get that in there. I don't know how, but you could get
more
that
of
in
that,
there.
Please.
Yeah. They should have used their Max von Sydow money to make a good horror trailer and make good advertising.
Yeah, they use the same font in every ad. Did you notice that?
That doesn't surprise me.
That same Belarus, like the horror movie's called Belarus.
Oh, yeah.
Same font.
Yeah.
I hated this movie. I couldn't wait for it to be over, and it refused to end.
It's surprisingly less than 2 hours. That surprised me when I finished it.
It is the longest hour and 45 minutes.
Right.
I swear to God.
Yeah, well, it gets... there's a lot of places where, it's like going down... I don't know if this metaphor will work. It's like going down, an alpine slide... Unlike a old blanket, where like it mostly doesn't work, but every now and then you get going, you're like, yeah, this is pretty good. It's just like that, and then you just slowly skid to the bottom, and you're depressed because it took 2 hours to do it, and you learn nothing. It wasn't worth it. Yeah,
sad.
Like there's definitely some moments in this that I was like, all right, and then not those moments, and then those moments went away.
There was one moment that was like that for me. It's when Max von Sydow gets struck by lightning.
Yeah.
I didn't have a single moment of this film where I was like, all right.
They could have taken that clip of him getting struck by lightning and put it on a loop for 2 hours.
It would have been better than this movie.
Yeah, I might have enjoyed it more. I think I would have spotted something new every loop, something new and exciting.
Yep.
Gets fucking struck by lightning. What the fuck?
I don't know. It's the only thing that justifies this film's existence.
Yeah. It's right on the edge of weird enough. Like, stuff like them fucking in the car and stuff where it's just like, well, that's a bold choice. And like the weird fucking part when they're in traffic and the woman is undressing and then she starts undressing. And that was another moment where I was by a teenager.
Yeah.
A teenager.
What did that have to do with anything?
I think it was her. I think the idea was they're in traffic and there's a random woman next undressing and she sees him looking at her. So she gets jealous and starts also undressing, but is like, don't look. Like she's trying to play the game. And I think it really came down to maybe a producer just being like, we got to put some tits in this. I don't know, because I think it was the idea of like quirky flirting, but by people who are aliens.
Right, ghoulish monsters.
Because I think that, like, there's moments like that when they're later fucking in the car. The car is their fucking jam. That's when they're just rock hard in that car.
They are DTF in that car.
And like, I kind of like that if it was done well. If it was like called attention to as like this joke thing and this couple where their thing is like every time, like when she's driving them back at the end, if they like fucked again in the car because they couldn't help themselves or something. It needed to be that level of, it was like on the edge of that level of weirdness, but never crossed over so that it was fully entertaining. And that's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I guess it's a shame.
It's a shame. I think it's a shame because I think this movie had a couple good broad premises going for it that was kind of squandered.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Max von Sydow.
You don't.
Not every day you put Max von, like that scene. You need to build a good movie around that scene. You need to honor that scene of Max von Sydow being struck by lightning and vanishing.
I mean, that can just live on forever as a GIF.
That's true.
All we need. It's all we need.
Yeah, that is all we need.
Stepping outside.
Yeah.
Opening his shirt and getting struck by lightning.
Yeah, I think my recommendation is everybody check out that scene. I mean, it might be on YouTube. You know, I mean, that's our service. You don't have to do what we did and watch this whole movie. You just have to watch that one scene.
It's more than enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But That's all
I
have to say about this.
That's all I have to say. We don't need to talk about this film anymore.
So I guess thanks, Andrew McGuire, for giving us that one scene of Max von Sydow getting struck by lightning.
Struck by goddamn lightning.
Yeah. That's the positive I can take from this.
Yes, that's the best thing to say about this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shit. Everybody, thanks for listening, right?
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this. I think you enjoyed this.
I think you guys had a grand old time.
I'm confident that you enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
As we've said several times, this is a part of a tier for our Patreon page. You can check that out at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Along with this tier, we have several others, including one that is an exclusive role-playing game that you can watch. There's one that's you can watch movies with us every Friday. And then there's one that's just exclusive podcasts, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Two lovely, lovely shows.
Yeah.
What else? What do we have? Anything else?
We got a store. You guys know the drill. It's tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. We can get some stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, do that. That's been great. That's been going great. You guys have been fantastic.
Yeah, you guys are killing it out there.
Yeah, you're really, I don't know.
You're pulling a real turning brands on each other massacre.
Yeah, turn our brand. Until we have to strip off our robe and get struck by lightning.
Walk out on the balcony and
Max Cow Sydow in the sky.
Wait, Sea Cow, right? No, he's a manatee now.
Max,
I want to be done with this.
Okay,
I want this to be over.
Bye, everybody.
All right, bye, everyone.